Charles Finney, that great Presbyterian evangelist, was preaching a revival in Detroit. After the service, he was asked to go with a man. Others told him not to go. He went. He went to a room above a saloon. And the man pulled out a pistol and laid it down. He said, "Don't be afraid, Mr. Finney. I'll not shoot you." And he pulled out this revolver and laid it down. He said, "I heard you preach tonight." He said, "I'm an evil man. I've killed 4 men with this revival. I operate this saloon and sell alcohol, sending men to hell. I was ready to commit suicide in my life, but I decided to come and hear you preach tonight. Is there any hope for a man like me?" And Charles Finney replied, "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. But Mr. Finney, I've helped men rob their own children of food and clothes and home by selling them alcohol and destroying their lives, damning their souls." Charles Finney said, "The blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses from all sin. But Mr. Finney, across the street, there's a wife I've abused. Little girl I disfigured in a drunken rage. I pushed her into the heater and she was burned and scarred. Is any hope for a man like that?" Charles Finney said, "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." Charles Finney left. The man didn't sleep that night. He prayed all night on his knees and said, "Oh God." At the morning, he crossed the street to his house and went up to his bedroom. In a little while, his wife said to the little girl, said, "Tell your daddy it's time for breakfast." She went upstairs. "Mama said it's time for breakfast." And the man said, "Darling, tell Mama that I don't want any breakfast this morning." The little girl ran back downstairs and said, "Mama, Daddy doesn't want any breakfast. And Mama, he called me darling." "Yeah, you must have made a mistake. Go tell him again or he'll be angry." So the little girl went back upstairs. The man came down the stairs holding the hand of the little girl. The wife looked up. "Wife, I've sinned against God, mankind, and you. But last night I heard God's word about the blood of Jesus. His blood has cleansed me from all my sins. You have a new husband. Daughter, you have a new daddy. I closed the saloon last night forever. I'm going to change my life because of what Jesus has done for me." Now, friend, let me ask you something. Have you been washed in the blood? Maybe you say, "Preacher, it's what I need. I need to be saved. I need to be forgiven. I need to be changed." Well, in just a moment, you can lift your voice to the Lord and God will wash your sins away, cleanse you, change your life, and you can trust Him as you walk in fellowship with the Lord. Now, as we're studying this series on 1 John, we're going to talk about it a little bit, brother. What do we do with our sins? You know, one of the amazing things a newborn believer comes to realize is that even though he's born again, he still has an old sin nature. You do understand that, don't you? I was born again at 22 years old. I got out of the Marines, and when I got out of the Marines, I was out for a year. And I went down to the Mobile Rescue Mission with my brother. He was preaching the word, and he was kind of nervous about going down with all these fellas. And I said, "I'm fine. I'll go down there with you. I've been around those kind of guys. I was Force Recon Marine and third degree black belt and judo and all that stuff." And I said, "I'll anybody bothers you, I'll take care of it. So you just go on down there and you preach." And he preached. And while I'm sitting in the back there, the Holy Spirit convicted me of my sins. Said, "David, look at all these broken men. You're worse than all of them. I mean, you may not have sinned the sins. You may not have been a drunkard. You may not have dealt with drugs. But David, you knew about me. You were raised as a little boy with learning John 3:16, and you turned your back on me again and again and again to live your own life." Well, we went home that night. I didn't get saved. They went home and out behind the farm. I told my brother, "You pray for me. I got to go do business with God tonight." I went down to the bottom of the hill, and the Lord saved my soul, washed me away. wash my sins away. But after I was saved and I was growing, I was still a baby Christian, a young Christian, didn't understand a lot of it. Even though I'd been born again and God had saved me, some of the dirty jokes that I'd heard as a Marine sergeant, and some of those things would go through my mind, and the old devil would use that and say, you can't be a Christian. Thinking something like that go through your mind, you can't be a Christian. And it'd make me doubt that I was really saved. See, sometimes your own conscience doesn't help much. It says the same thing. If you're saved, why do you have the same old thoughts you had? If you're saved, why does that go through your mind? Well, I want to talk to you a little bit today and maybe the next broadcast as we come to grips with this area. What do we do? What is a child of God to do with his sin? Now, we know that some of the greatest people in the Bible sinned, right? David, a man after God's own heart, sinned. He brought great tragedy and heartache to his life and his family by committing adultery with Bathsheba. Moses, that great lawgiver, writer of the first five books of the Bible, when God told him to speak to the rock the second time, which was a type of Jesus Christ, he struck the rock. He struck it the first time that Jesus would only be struck once. And because he struck it the second time, he was not allowed to enter the promised land, and he died early. Simon Peter, the man who preached the great sermon at Pentecost with 3,000 people saved, though he loved the Lord, he sinned. Well, what do we do as believers with our sin? Listen, you don't have to stay in the mud. You don't have to remain defeated. The devil is a liar. Would you put that down somewhere in your note? He wants to tell you that you've blown it. You're no good. God doesn't love you. You're not going to make it. That you can't get up and go on with God. He wants you to give up and stay defeated, to be fearful and doubtful, in bondage to sin, discouraged. Now, there may be some in this audience that are listening who are in this spiritual condition. Though you know you received Jesus Christ, you've been forgiven of your sin, you find yourself in the bondage and the defeat of sin. So what you need to know today is God's way of victory and freedom in the sin problem. Now, I hope I can do this in one broadcast. If not, we'll do like we did last time. We'll pick up on the back. So I'm going to share with you three alternatives you have concerning sin in your life as a believer. Now, some Christians try and cover their sins. We talked about that. If we choose, we can pretend that we don't have any sin at all. So we just say we have not sinned. We attempt to conceal it. Now, how does a believer do this? We live a lie. Look at chapter 1, verse 6 again. If we say we have fellowship with God and walk in darkness, we lie. A phony life. Come to church, just go through the motions. Two lives, two vocabularies, a church vocabulary and a world vocabulary. He says, and they do not the truth. So we lie to others by our lives. Then we attempt to lie to ourselves. Verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, God said. Yeah, my sin's not so bad, we say. Everybody's doing it. There's a reason, and you try to make this acceptable as if it's not a sin. Why do we do this? Because we have a sin nature. The heart is deceitfully wicked, that God said. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, wherefore let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. Now listen, sin is the root. Sins are the fruit. Boy, we used to have, when we lived down in Spanish Fort, Alabama, we had nut grass. I don't even know if you know what that is. That's the worst, toughest little grass in the world. They'd get in our flower beds. And our dad, there was four boys in our family. Our dad said, don't you boys get out there today and dig out all that nut grass and clean up those flower beds. Good. You could dig and dig and dig at them things, little bitty bottom of the root thing like a nut, and it was tough to get out. So see, we allow our sin nature to rule our lives rather than the Holy Spirit. We got to deal with it. Well, that animal is a dog because it barks. No, it barks because it's a dog. Their nature. Dogs don't meow. Dogs don't moo. They bark. And when we sin, we're living out our nature, not our supernaturally changed that God has given us. Now, we come into this world knowing how to sin, don't we? All of us. You don't have to teach a baby to lie. Man, that little booger will get in there screaming like somebody's killing him. You come in there and pick him up, he just grin from ear to ear. Boy, I got you in here, didn't I? No. See, that's the old devil tries to come in and tempt you and keep you from being what God wants you to be. Now, you know, you had that old song, Flip Wilson, a long time used to sing, well, the devil made me do it. No, he didn't. The devil didn't. He tempted you. But you chose to do it. We chose to do it. So see, first, we conceal our sin. Second, we lie to ourselves. And when we do that, we make God a liar. Look at verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. God's convicting us. God calls it sin, but we don't. We say God's Bible is that it's not so. I know people that live in their transgression, in their lifestyle. Homosexuals get their own Bible and said they interpret it in a whole new way. And they try to make God a liar. I told a man the other day, if God said it, that settles it, and I believe the Bible. He was talking about women preachers in church, that their church believed in it. And he said, do you? I said, no, I don't. And I showed him the scripture where a woman's not to have authority over a man. She's not to be his teacher. God set up that plan, this God and man and the woman. They're equal before God, but roles and purposes are different. So you have to come back to the authority of God, right? Otherwise, we become our own authority, really without anything. We change the names of sin. Lying is credibility gap or spin. All these politicians lying like a dog, calling it spin. Adultery is an affair. Drunkenness is a sickness now. Only sickness, well, maybe not the only one, but it's a sickness you get by drinking it. Our social drinking, party time, the good life. I remember some of those beer commercials. You'd be watching a football game, they'd come across the good life. Man, I said, boy, that's not the good life. That's going to lead down in a hole. Homosexuality, they change it to the gay lifestyle. Abortion, choice. Why? Well, God says in verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. Here it is, and his word is not in us. Remember Psalm 119:11, thy word I hide in my heart that I sin not against thee. Remember that. So concealment, if you conceal your sin, two C's, concealment or conviction. Well, we're going to have to stop. I'm going to have to do it again. We'll have to come back and finish up this segment as we discover what to do with our sin. I'll try to review a little bit better on the next broadcast, so we review the part we've just looked at, and then we'll come back in and finish this up, that God can help us. I want to live victorious, don't you? I want to be holy. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be led by the Spirit. And God tells us that we can be. And the joy and the blessing and the power of life in him. If you don't know him, dear friend, call on him today, would you? Ask him to save you of your sin. Trust him by simple, blessed faith, and he'll forgive you. If you're a child of God, you've fallen flat on your face, then while you're down there, confess your sin. Tell God you're sorry, and God will forgive you. How many times, Brother David? God said 7 times 70, 490, infinite. If you're born again, you're his child. You're not going to lose your salvation. We'll talk about what could happen. You get a good whipping. Well, our time's up, so let me encourage you to walk in love and serve the Lord. Until the next broadcast, this is David Bowler, and it's my prayer that the Lord will richly bless you.